get for your money. And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins.
Good morning, Mark.
You are wearing flowery. You are like back. I feel like I think we've had this segment, but it was a different shirt.
Well, I will tell you.
Going back to the 70s.
The 70s. It's a little Hawaiian, isn't it? A little Hawaiian.
It's Hawaiian 70s.
Yeah, so I got this for when I went to Hawaii and didn't wear it. So I thought, I'm wearing it. So anyway.
Well, it is trendy, fashionable, flowery, summertime here in Oklahoma.
And we've got that going on for sure.
We do.
Even the thunder and lightning last night.
Oh, my goodness. It
unusual,
was wonderful.
Right?
It was wonderful.
Well.
I enjoy a good thunderstorm.
You know, we were going to have a really boring show today. And when the lightning hit about, 12:30, 1 o'clock last night, I thought, I'm going to text and see if Hayes Electric can be our guest tomorrow. Not really, but they are our scheduled guest. So we have got Alan Pruitt and Dwayne Wart, who are the co-owners of Hayes Electric.
Hayes Electric, and one of my favorite guests. Every time we talk to you guys, I always enjoy it. Always had a good time and learned something.
Well, there's a lot
hard not to like.
There's,
You're very lovable.
Very hard not to like. Yeah. That's true. We're going to get way into it because we're going to talk today about arc fault.
Arc fault breakers.
Breakers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the day when I was a kid, the electricity goes out in part of the house and daddy goes out and flips a breaker and it comes back on. And I think a lot of us grew up like that.
Let's be honest, Becky. That was probably more of a twist and a fuse.
Now, hey. Could have been. Yeah. But those are there for a reason. And we're going to talk about, well, first of all, what is it? Mm-hmm. And what types are there? Because there's different types, I think. And maybe in the panel, I don't know.
Well, I'll start and then I'll let Dewey chime in. I'll start with what it is or what the purpose is.
Okay.
A lot of people get them confused with ground fault circuit interrupter breakers. Similar but different. Ground faults detect a fault in the system.
Oh.
Like, anything water related, stuff like that. Arc faults detect if there is a loose connection, it might create an arc or something like that. That's their purpose.
Where are they located?
Well, in your breaker box.
Okay.
They're arc fault circuit breakers.
And how do you know which breaker box they're in?
Typically, only in newer homes, may have built in the last 10 years.
Yeah, about
last
that.
10 years. Now, if you have an electrician out to add circuitry, then technically they are supposed to put an arc fault breaker in whatever new circuitry they add. Okay.
Is arc fault supposed to cover the whole house? Like ground fault covers right where, like around water area.
The damper mostly. Wet locations.
Okay. But arc fault is kind of
It is the whole house.
It is the whole house.
Okay. Yeah,
it is everything.
Yeah. If you want to join the conversation today, listener, the number to call in is 405-840-1000. That's 840-1000. And it's a great day to ask Dwayne and Alan questions about electricity. Now, with arc fault, I've got a personal issue with this.
Hit me.
Now, okay. I have a printer that is like just a home printer that every time I go to print – or not every time. It is
a lot of times.
A lot of times. Yeah. But it's not 100% of the time.
Yeah.
It will trip the arc fault.
Yeah.
And I have to go out to the breaker and re-trip it. And sometimes it trips and then I have to trip it back. And then eventually I get to print.
There are certain pieces of machinery, pieces of some ceiling fans used to do it.
Some TVs.
Some TVs used to do it. And there's just something in there that is...
Is it a little surge of power or something
that
they request?
No, it's just something that breaker is sensing. in that.
Because they read two, they actually read two signals, not one.
Okay.
So it's a harmonic deal.
Okay, so what do they read?
The harmonics of it.
The harmonics of the...
See, yeah, that may be a little too deep, but I'll put it to you this way. A lot of ladies used to, wouldn't turn their vacuum on and off. They'd just plug it in and it would come on. That right there, just the act of plugging it in, creates an arc when it plugs in because the motor's ready to go. And it, you know, that would trip an arc fault breaker.
Yeah.
So they're sensitive. They're much better than they used to be. When they first came out, it was brutal.
Well, what's the purpose of this? I mean, why, if there's
such a
problem.
Fire thing.
Oh, okay.
It's a fire thing. I'm personally not a fan.
Oh, okay.
But it is what it is.
It's required by your license, so you got to do it.
Mm-hmm. But it's a fire thing. So if there is a loose connection that could arc and start something, you know, that's there, then they trip. You know, whereas before, if there was a loose connection there, arcing something, there's possibility, you know, something could happen.
Yeah. Well, if you want to call in, the number's 840-1000. We have a caller on the line, Mike. Thanks for calling in this morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
I have a question. Good morning, ma'am. I have a question in reference to the GFCIs that are out. I have had problems with them, not the quality being terrible. Am I getting the wrong product?
Well, were you talking about like outside or in the house? Or
in the house, yes.
In the house. There's a lot of things that can factor into it. Is it just tripping a lot?
Well, yes, and it's not really, yes, it's not doing its purpose, and it's not in a area, so I put some in the garage, was having problems in there, and I could not get it to fix the problem.
Your problem might not be in that plug, then.
Yeah, I mean.
Right. In that area, I had one in the bathroom in this same house that I was fixing. I'm a DIY guy.
Sure.
I'm not an electrician, so that's the reason for the call. It's just,
well, what I would recommend to you is that you call the office, and I can come out. Estimates are completely free, and so I could come out and go over that with you and see exactly what's going on, you know, in your house, and maybe give some insight then. You know, I might be able to give you some insight over the phone, but you know, it's always better to see something firsthand like that. And GFIs can be picky.
What part of the city are you in, Mike?
In Moore.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you, we don't carry a license in Moore, but I will come down there and give you a free estimate just because you called.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that very much.
Mike, their number is 405-789-2065. That's 405-789-2065, or you can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's favorites, you'll see Hayes Electric right
there. Yeah, and like I said, it won't cost you a dime for me to come down there and take a look, and at least maybe I can give you some ideas of what's probably going wrong. And but make sure when you call in, since we don't carry a license there, make sure you call in and tell my secretary that, or my office manager, that you talked to me directly on the radio and I said I would come out.
Great. I really appreciate you.
Yeah, you bet.
We'll be back with more right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're here with the owners of Hayes Electric, Alan Pruitt and Dwayne Wirt. And Mike called in asking about GFCIs. Mm-hmm. And so let's just kind of stick there with GFCIs. So I recently installed a GFCI in my bathroom because I had.
Did you do it yourself?
I did it myself.
You handy guy.
I know. Because it was the weekend and that one had tripped and would not reset.
Yeah.
How, I mean, is that, do they just have a lifespan on them? This was.
Yeah, they've got a lifespan and every one of them is different.
Really?
Yeah, they're. You don't know. You never know when it's going
to happen.
It
drove me nuts to try to figure out which one tripped. And
what's the age of your house?
It's not that old.
No. It was built in 2009.
So, I mean, they shouldn't be interconnected between bathrooms and stuff, but they should be individual.
Yeah. So a big part of those is like the grounding. Like, I'm not sure this was wired in correctly because I had like two wires on the bottom and two wires on the top. And
line and load.
So it was really strange. So what's the key on those?
When you're wiring them up, you look at the backside. There's going to be a line and a load. It's either the load's going to be on the top or it's going to be on the bottom. Same thing, you know. So you got to make sure you look at that first.
Yeah.
And then when you take off your old wires, off your old, you know, because you're smart. The smart thing for you to do is go in and turn off the breaker so you don't get
I did that.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you're going to do that, you need to pull out the plug and look at the backside and see which sets are line and load. And the one that is your line, make sure you annotate that. That's your line, mm-hmm. both the hot and the neutral. Because if you flip them, it won't work. Okay. If you get them crisscrossed, it won't work. Okay. Outside of that, it's really, they're really simple to put in.
Just need to put it back like it was.
Because
or maybe it was wrong to start with.
Well, when I put it out, I took a picture of it so that I could make sure. Okay. I want to make sure. But I was concerned. I'm not sure it was put in correctly in the first.
Well, it would not work at all
right.
if it wasn't put in correctly.
Okay. So they
so when have they go out a lot of times they just pop out and then they just won't reset.
Yeah,
right.
And that's what this one did.
And the thing about the new GFIs compared to what we had, 20 years ago, Alan, would you say? They started putting chips in them.
Yeah, and they self test every so many seconds.
Like, oh, really?
Once every 30 seconds.
Wow.
So when they self test, then you have to reset them?
No.
No.
Or
it's internal.
Everything's internal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so when they go bad, that little board in there just, you know, say for instance, you get a surge or something like that. It's a computer board.
Yeah.
So if you take a lightning strike or anything of that nature, anything that's low voltage, which would be computer boards, TVs, you know, anything that's got a chip in it, that has a chance of getting destroyed.
Just a close strike will do it. Like just. Right, close to your neighborhood is enough to do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
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 Now, I know the last time I had an issue with the GFCI, I called you, Alan, directly, and you're like, well, you probably tripped a GFCI that's not located in the bathroom, like it's maybe located in a closet somewhere else, and it's tied in
right. And
somewhere. And sure enough, you were right. I had like his GFCI. So, like, they can be connected to something that's not really near.
Yeah, it can be
the problem source. Is that right?
Yeah, really, it has more to do with the age of the home. So I kind of know how somebody did it, you know. But yeah, there's been we've seen houses. One in particular, it was the dumbest one I'd ever seen. And sorry to whatever electrician quotations.
He just air quoted electrician with this story. Go ahead, Alan.
Bathrooms, you know, if you have switches within 6 feet of water, whatever, everything's supposed to be GFI protected, switches included. There was no GFIs in, there was a GFI plug, but it didn't have anything to do with the switches. We had to hunt around the house for it. Turns out, you go down to the garage next to the breaker box, and there was like a line of four or five GFIs lined up right next to the breaker box. And those are the ones that tripped and controlled all the bathrooms.
Oh, wow.
Up there. So, yeah, if it tripped, you would have to go downstairs, out into the garage, next to the breaker box, hit the button. You know, it was just the worst. Just the worst. Now, is it legal? Yeah, it was legal, but not smart.
Let's get back to our ground fault breaker. Can that be retrofitted into an older house?
If the house is grounded.
Grounded.
Oh, okay. So now, the two-wire house that's ungrounded.
I don't want to get into that debate.
That would be tough. But a three-wire house, which is basically the 60s houses, right? 60s and
late,
on.
Late 60s. Yeah.
Those can – you've got the GFCIs, which we used to just call GFIs. Why did we add the C in there?
It's just a shortened version of it. It's all the same.
Okay. So ground fault circuit interrupter.
Yeah.
But the arc fault isn't there in the breaker box.
So it is in the breaker box.
In the 60s, late 60s, 70s?
It didn't exist then.
Oh, okay. But can you have it put in?
You can, but you really have to. A lot of the houses in the 60s, the way they wired them would make it very difficult to do as far as separating things to make it function properly.
Okay.
And so, we've seen inspection reports that, it's recommended, but it's just not feasible.
We have a joint eye roll when we say inspection reports. Yeah. All four of us rolled our eyes at the same time. And on inspection reports, I just needed to add this, that the inspectors are required to call out what is a possible safety issue.
Sure.
So if there's not a GFCI in there near water, they're required to call it out.
Sure. Well,
the buyer doesn't have to make them do it, because that's negotiated on that list of repairs.
Right.
But the inspectors are required to call certain things out. So we can't really, we could aim our arrows, but we probably should.
I find myself having that discussion with prospective homeowners.
Okay.
That, look, these are not have-tos.
Right.
Nobody can make you do this. This is suggested to you.
If you want to call and ask a question, the number is 840-1000. It's 840-1000. We have Tom on the line. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
How are you
I've
today?
I've got one that could be worse.
Okay.
Had been. But I hadn't had anybody shoot at me lately, so I'm good to go.
Okay.
What I do have is about a year ago, we had our entire house repainted, refloored, everything inside except the garage was redone. And when they finished it, everything was beautiful. It was a great job. I was very happy with the contractor. However, my phone quit working. When we built this house in 89, we had two phone lines brought in, and because I was in sales, I needed one for business side and one for the family. And then after I was retired, we just had the business side disconnected. However, the phones kept working. There wasn't any problem. Now, I don't have phone service on my landlines.
You know, you can still get that if you call the telephone company.
I've called them, and they sent a guy out here, and he checked every circuit in the house that I'm aware of, and just threw his hands up and said, I think you're going to have it rewired. And that would work if I could find somebody who rewired them.
Okay. What part of the city are you in, sir?
Purcell.
Purcell. Okay.
Clayton County.
Mr. Gannon is going to get your information, and we're going to hook you up with our producer, Mike Gannon, is going to get your information, and we will get back with you with someone who can help. How's that? Okay.
If I could ask for more, I'd be kind of foolish.
Okay.
Tom, thanks for calling. We appreciate you calling. Hang on the line, and Mike Gannon, our producer, is going to get the information, and we're going to reach out, and hopefully we can give you some guidance and helping you in that direction. So that kind of goes, where are you guys? You have to be licensed in certain areas within the state, right?
Almost all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could pull out my wallet right now and probably pull out 12 licenses.
It's the George Costanza wallet.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, you flip out one of those, the old.
And you guys are knowledgeable in electricity in all areas, but, municipalities require a license. So, And you get that, Mary at your office gets that information. When a client calls
there are just some municipalities that we just don't get enough phone calls from to to make it beneficial to right. carry a license.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Breaker box. Okay, so when do you know when you need a new breaker box?
Becky, then we're back to you, okay?
Well, that's it's a little bit of a loaded question, but typically it's when you start experiencing problems, meaning, you know, dimming lights and just oddball things that aren't normal.
Do you guys still go out on stuff that sometimes has fuses?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you replace fuses?
Well, the recommendation is to, we'll replace fuses, but the recommendation is always to upgrade.
Upgrade to a,
Yeah, I mean, just some people just, you know, can't totally afford that, so.
We just do what we can for them.
Aren't there certain breaker boxes you need to be aware of?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that when we come back after the break here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins and our special guest, Hayes Electric, Alan Pruitt and Dwayne Wart. And it is time for our word of the day. Word of the Day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky.
If I can get it out. Our word of the day today, it is UL. And the UL listed seal means that the product's been tested by the UL, you know, nationally recognized for safety and sustainability standards. So that's the little thing that's on every hot iron you buy for your hair. It's got a little UL listing. Your Christmas lights, a UL listing. And you know something? Don't turn me in, but I cut those off under penalty of law. But those are very important seals. I started to buy some Christmas lights one time, and I mean, it was hundreds of dollars of lights. They were so cute. I looked, and there was no UL seal.
Hmm.
I turned right around and took them back to the store. I thought, well, I don't want to burn my house down, and maybe they would have been okay. They probably were, since they were LED, right?
Right.
But the UL seal means something, right?
It means everything. It means everything. That means they've been tested for... tested for safety, and that is safe to use in your home.
So with that UL, is that a mandatory, they have to have it, or is that a, like, it's the option of the company to have that?
I mean, it has to be, for us electrically,
okay,
anything we use has to be
UL listed.
Okay, because you guys are a licensed electrician. Mm-hmm. That's part of what you are required.
And what's that called? Universal Laboratories?
I believe it's Universal Laboratories.
So we were talking about breaker boxes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And many times, often, there will be a red flag on a home inspection that says, this has an FP breaker box. You need to get it checked by a licensed electrician.
Yep.
And FP, standing for Federal Pacific, and for a long time, you guys would come out there and check those. Now, granted, I go back with Hayes Electric about as long as you guys have been alive, right? So yeah. For about 50 years. Yeah. So for a long time, you would check them, and Gary Hayes would check them, and his dad and granddad check these and be sure that they don't show any signs of heat.
Mm-hmm.
Because the problem being, if I remember right, the aluminum wiring.
Well, there was, the short time in the 70s, there was some aluminum wiring, and that was a huge thing. And aluminum wire on an FPE breaker is like the worst thing I could ever imagine.
Oh, okay.
Aluminum wire is terrible, and was outlawed quickly after they had started using it.
Aluminum conducts heat really well.
It does, and it expands
and contracts.
And contracts. Oh. And so keeping a breaker tightened down on it doesn't work very well. And you put in on top of that a breaker that has a tendency not to trip if there's a problem, which is its sole purpose in life. The combination of those two things is just horrendous.
So those breaker boxes were causing lots of fires. Is that correct? It was a fire hazard.
There were fire hazards. Yeah.
Yeah.
And lots of maybe a little overstatement there, but if you're the one that it causes your house to burn down, or, you know, the smoke kills your baby in the crib or something, this is bad.
Yeah.
So that's why we have licensed people to take care of this, yeah, because you guys can spot that. Now, lately, when you've come out on the FP things, you have quit saying this seems to be okay, and yeah, more often will say, you know, this needs to be changed.
Yeah. Well, I used to go out, you know, and I would talk to the people, and, you know, have you had any issues, you know, in the past at all with this? And, you know, we'd talk about that, and if the answer was no, and then I'd be like, well, okay, you know, it's, you know, it'll be fine for a while. Now I'm going when I go out, it's just my recommendation is to replace it. It's just safer for everybody in the long run. Not to mention the fact that, you know, when that house was built, we lived very simply. You know, when those houses were built, everybody lived simply. We didn't have all the things that we have now.
We didn't plug in as much stuff as we plug in now.
And now to put more stress on a system that, you know, was not made for it to begin with, and it's lost its UL listing.
Yeah.
Because of the problems that it presents, it's just a bad idea.
Well, and the fact is that back when houses were built that had the Federal Pacific, typically, the breakers, mm-hmm, not breakers, the breaker boxes, mm-hmm, we cooked with gas.
Yeah.
So you didn't have that 220. You hung your clothes on a clothes line, mm-hmm, so you didn't have that 220 dryer. You had a swamp cooler, as we used to call them, the water cooler, air conditioning, so you didn't have that big drain on it. And folks now are trying to operate those houses on like 60 amp systems, right?
Yeah. Not to mention that probably 80% of those, that breaker box is in the closet with all those clothes. And, you know, it's combustibles.
Oh, that's right.
You know,
now, they don't put that in the closets anymore, do they?
No.
That is illegal. We have to move them out of. If we replace the box, it has to come out of the closet now.
Yeah. And you can you put it on the outside of the house?
Yes.
Same wall, but outside of the house?
Yes, maybe. You can.
Yeah. And that way you've at least got the sheetrock is your fire barrier there, right?
Well, what you do is you end up making that old panel a junction box, and then you seal it to where nobody can get into it. You know, you make it to where it's mechanically that they have to use mechanical means to open it up, and then we tie everything through. You know,
I think there's a lot of people who are listening who are going, oh, that's what that is in my closet, because they look in their closet, they see this metal panel that doesn't have anything going on. Yeah, it doesn't open in any way, and that looks unusual. So, like in a typical home box, how many slots are there typically?
Do you know what you just asked him? In a typical car, how many horsepower are there? No.
the number is unlimited, because I can't say.
Well, I mean, it ranges. You're talking about in a typical new box or an old box?
New box.
Typical new box. I mean, a typical one starts at about 20 spaces.
What was a typical old one?
12.
Yeah.
You know, but 20 spaces really.
20 spaces probably isn't. That's probably the.
That's really what we're using to replace old boxes with, is typically something like 20 spaces. But a new house is going to have, you know, most of them easily have 40 or more.
Or two panels.
Or two panels. And that's just because of changes in code and more circuitry that we have to add and separate things. And so we just have to add more breakers.
Listener, if you want to call in and ask a question to the guys from Hayes Electric, the number is 840-1000. That's 405-840-1000.
Well, and, you know, I want you guys to come back.
Sure.
We've got another segment, and we're going to discuss some things there. But if you come back again, let's dive a little bit deeper into this arc fault situation.
I'd really like to talk about some things that have changed, and we have to – it has increased the cost, and I think people need to be aware of that, too.
Yeah.
So whatever electrician they use, they don't scream at them. This is something that's been required of us lately in the city of Oklahoma City. So we need to talk about that also.
Okay.
Interesting. We'll be back with your smoking hot deal right after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our smoking hot deal. Our smoking hot deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn, and on 63rd, just west of Meridian, and in Yukon on Route 66.
Well, and every time you say Yukon, I think about 720 Cedarburg. That is the nicest house over there. Great, great, great big lot. That's not our smoking hot deal.
It's not our smoking hot deal, but it is. If you have not seen this house, you can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on showing or listings right on there. It'll be should be right at the top and take a virtual tour. It is just south of Yukon High School. Beautiful neighborhood.
In Stone Mill, which great neighborhood.
Beautiful neighborhood.
Our smoking hot deal is for $575,000, and it is in Still Meadows. This is a Tabor home. Well, maybe it's a Four Corners home. It says Four Corners Construction. I asked the seller yesterday, who built this house? He told me Tabor, so I'll find out.
Well, it is a neighborhood that both of them have built in.
Right.
Yeah.
This is a nice big house. It's about 4,000 square feet. And it's four bedrooms, three and a half bathrooms, a nice big three-car garage. It's a big tandem garage. And a huge covered patio with fireplace back there. It's going to be open tomorrow. Are you going
to
be there tomorrow?
I will be there tomorrow from 2 to 4 p.m. Would love for you to come by, say hello. Tell me you listened to heard it at the on the show.
That's great. And for the first, let's say, three people who come to this open house, I've got Casa Perico certificates for you for free lunch.
Come get you some lunch.
Yeah, there you go. So that's our smoking hot deal brought to you by
Casa Perico Mexican Grill.
Well, it's there you go. Okay. We are here with Alan Pruitt and Dwayne Mort of Hayes Electric. And you mentioned that there's changes in the Oklahoma City Municipal Code, basically, that requires that if you move a panel, even a foot, a few inches, like from a closet to an outside wall, that you have to do certain things. And once you add that wire, what's the ramifications of that? Does it add cost?
Yes.
It does add cost. I mean, but how much is a foot of wire, really?
Well, a foot of wire is
a foot of wire isn't the cost part. It's the breaker.
Well, I mean, you're going to have the breaker anyway, right?
A much more expensive breaker.
Oh, okay.
Because we used to be able to use a standard breaker.
Right.
Now, if we do it, we have to put in one of the arc fault breakers, which is an extreme change in cost.
Because those are like $75 or something, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Around about there.
And what's a breaker, a typical breaker?
About seven.
Just $7 or $8.
Well,
so are all new breakers supposed to be arc fault? Because like in my panel, I have two arc fault.
Well, probably bedrooms.
Breaker, yes.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay, and that comes from the time period that your house was built.
Okay.
And the code changes every 3 years. And so that was the first set of arc faults. It was bedrooms only. And then prior to that, they just kept adding to it each code change, and now it's everything.
Wow.
Everything that's in a house that is 110 is required to be arc fault protected. Everything that is within 6 feet of water or in a kitchen is required to be GFI'd. So if it is a 110 and it's near water, it's got to be an arc fault GFI.
So they make combo breakers that too. Do both.
Oh, and that's now that's the plug in the wall, or is that?
That's a breaker.
Breaker.
A breaker in the panel.
Yeah, in new houses, you just don't see the GFI plugs hardly anymore. There's no point because everything has to be arc faulted or GFI'd. And so it's all in the panel now. So all the plugs inside a new house will just be regular looking plugs.
Okay. You mentioned earlier something about a switch in a bathroom needs to be a GFCI switch. Well, there's no button on there.
No. What he was meaning by that is that those switches for like the lights, the vents, whatever, if it is within 6 feet mm-hmm. of the sink or a tub, then those switches have to be arc or GFI protected. Okay.
So that you don't GFI in the bathroom with it.
Oh, it's and on the same circuit.
It would feed off the load side of the GFI that's in the bathroom.
Okay, so that's the same circuit.
And, so, but now in a new house,
uh-huh.
it would it's just all feed off panel. Of that arc fault GFI combo in the panel.
Well, there's a lot to know about that. Yeah. Right.
You know, that brought back the memory of why I called you when that one that I had to find that weird location mm-hmm. was because my lights weren't working. And it was like I didn't know lights up top were connected to GFCI.
Right.
Like that was new information to me.
That's when you know you got a problem is when you flip a switch and nothing happens.
That's
right.
When I knew.
Because, I mean, we get calls like this all the time.
Yeah. I do think that maybe in the future we should expand on the costs, the extra costs of the arc faults as far as building a new service. And if your service is going to require me to do that or not.
About what it would cost to
do that. About the extra cost that's involved.
You guys have put in one new box for me. And it's been several years ago in a rental property. I added an air conditioner upstairs because it was hot up there. And so when you add an air conditioner, it didn't have enough power. So I had to put in a new box.
Right.
Right. And I remember that being about $3,500, but there's a lot that goes into that, and whether or not you add an additional box or keep the same old one. And you're right, we need to go into that. So we will do that.
Okay.
So I've got a question that may be an ignorant question, but you said all 110 lines have to have GFC arc fault, depending on where their location or both, I guess, in new construction. What about 220 lines?
Not yet.
I think it's coming.
So that seems ludicrous. Because aren't they the more dangerous?
I think it's coming.
Heavy? Okay.
Yeah, it will eventually come. I foresee it realistically because, I mean, if you really want to technically get thick, sit down and think about it. My little brother, he lives up in Colorado, and they're already enforcing it, by the way.
Okay. There.
Okay, so it's coming.
Yeah.
But if you have a 220 dryer that's next to a washer, which has a water source, which is supposed to be in the code, GFI protected.
Yeah.
And arc fault. Now they're saying that in Colorado, it is a requirement that those 220s are GFI protected.
Huh.
I think costs could be cut if they would just make, and I know it's extreme, but make the main breaker arc fault GFI. Now, having said that, if one little thing happens in the house, it shuts down the whole thing.
The whole thing.
But cost effectiveness would be.
Yeah.
It'd much be pretty better. Inconvenient.
It would be very inconvenient. So if you had any issues at all, electrician was sloppy or something, you could have a lot of problems.
Well, or say someone flips getting ready for school, some teenager does the hot iron thing or three of them, mm-hmm. different sizes. And then it flips something and they don't know because they walk out the door.
Right.
You walk into a hot house
with
the stuff still in the washer that's not finished, even though you need that gymnastic suit that day. So, so there's just a lot of repercussion on.
Yeah.
Total one. So yeah. I don't know if they'll ever do a total one on that end.
You
know,
yeah.
The total thing.
Is it the same for mobile homes as it is for single family detached homes? Is the electrical system about the same in those, or do they use different types of wiring?
They use the same type of wiring, albeit they do things slightly different. They kind of have their own code, but they still have to adhere to certain things in the code.
You would think they would need to be pretty universal since those could be shipped anywhere to plug in, right?
You'd think.
And how about if, like most people in the metro, use OG&E, Oklahoma Gas and Electric Company, for their electrical. Does it matter to you if it comes from like OEC, like an electric co-op, or OG&E? Is it the same to an electrician?
It is all the same. But we have to, the only difference is we have to get their meter bases. You know, if we're building a service, that's the only difference. And it's just a minor inconvenience. And there's nothing different about them. They're exactly the same, except this one has an OG&E stamp on it. This one has Edmund Electric stamp on it.
This one has ESO.
Yeah, and they don't want to see somebody else's stamp on their stuff.
Well, I guess not. Yeah. Huh.
So.
Okay. I forget about Edmund being its own thing, right?
Yeah.
So now, electricity, I think, costs about the same everywhere, but the delivery is more expensive in Edmund than it is, or I may have that wrong. Maybe they just charge more for it. But I know that in looking for a house, it was kind of important not to be, even though we live in Edmund, we're not on Edmund Utilities. So,
congratulations.
Yeah, I know, right? Right. But we are on Deer Creek Water.
All right.
So that takes up all of it. We'd like to have you guys back next week. And we're going to take a little bit deeper dive into the arc fault breaker and what happens if you buy something that does not have that UL sticker on it.
Our guests have been Alan Pruitt and Dwayne Wart, owners of Hayes Electric. And if you need their services, you can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's Favorites. You'll see them there, and they'll be back here with us next week. Thank you for being with us on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.
May the Lord always watch over you, and may all of your hopes turn to wishes, and may all of your wishes come true.